You're tuned to Belfast Community Radio. That's WBFYLP, broadcasting at 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine, and streaming on the internet at wbfy.me. In the next hour, you'll be hearing interviews with the candidates for the Ward 3 City Council position. First, Sophia Ridgely Fuller, interviewed by Rhonda Feynman, and then Brenda Bonneville, interviewed by Alice Seeger. Thank you for your attention and for participating in your city government.
Welcome. I'm Rhonda Feynman. Our next interview, which is with Sophia Ridgely Fuller, that is how you will see her name. She is running for councillor in Ward 3 of Belfast. Do want to remind everybody, it doesn't matter what ward you live in, you vote for everybody on the ballot. Everybody votes for everybody in Belfast. So, Sophia Ridgely Fuller is on the ballot. I believe you go by Ridgely, mostly.
I do. Yeah. I do.
So welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, and hello, Belfast.
What possessed you? Why are you running for city council, Ridgely?
That's a question I am frequently asked, and I really love it here. It's a wonderful city. It's vibrant, a lot of fun things to do, super, super people. And recently, the last couple of years, it's been difficult. We've had a lot of difficult conversations. And I really got tired of seeing the difficulty. And I really decided I wanted to do something positive.
What do you mean the difficulty?
Well, I think there's been difficulty certainly around the salmon farm issue. I think it's really a shame that that's happened, and it's kind of fractured our city, because there's been some disagreement. It really penetrated, and I think the voices have become really shrill and in many cases unforgiving. So I really wanted to be a positive force, and I wanted to start thinking about what is it that I stand for and instead of what I'm against. And certainly, I've had experience with restorative justice. I'm a social worker as well, and so treating each other with respect is something that I really value. Nonviolent language, and I really value that.
So we're moving right into the civility and conversation, and those are a number of questions. And what I have here are questions that were not asked, but were written out and submitted at the candidates forum, which was the other evening right here in Belfast. What I'm going to do now, and we can go jump right in with that introduction, and we'll. It's this question: if you saw incivility mounting, how would you intervene to defuse the situation?
Well, I think it's important to catch it before it mounts. It's really important. As a social worker, I used to talk about the conflict escalator, and that once you're on it, it's really, really hard to get off. So we need to be really aware of that escalator and try to cool things off quickly and immediately. I think it's important for us, but certainly for all of us, I think, to be held responsible for making a climate of respect. I think simply when you hear something that seems a little off, just saying ouch is just a gentle reminder.
So the person who hears something or
right. yeah.
say ouch.
Just ouch.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Oh, right. Yeah. So we're asking these questions to everybody.
Yep.
So sometimes the ouch moments happen on social media. Mm-hmm. And we have a question here from one of our citizens. And is it appropriate for a councillor to be using social media, or how can social media be used in a way that does not escalate the situation? And would you be committed to not responding personally to personal attacks on social media? I guess that's a three-part
It's a
super duper question. What do you think?
Right. Well, I think first the city council should see themselves as the leaders of the community, and they're the role models that everybody looks up to and watches. I'm amazed at how many people watch the city council meetings, and they learn a lot. So I think that maybe part of our commitment as we get sworn in, whoever gets sworn in, should be a commitment to acting as the leader, the social leader of the community. And that's, to me, very important. I have stopped using social media myself, or certainly I don't use Facebook. But I never really got into or was really aware of how destructive it could be. I think the bullying parts that go on in school are extremely, and that's what we should all be paying attention to. But I don't think city councilors should be lashing out on social media. It's not helpful. Yeah, our goal is to build a community and a city that thrives, not to help, you know, fracture it. So
one of the other questions was, how do you represent citizens who disagree with you?
With respect. You know, I don't know if I even need to acknowledge, and certainly on my travels through Belfast and listening and talking with people, I've come across people that have ideas that I wouldn't necessarily agree with. But that doesn't mean that I can't thank them for talking to me and for their opinion. Which I should consider carefully, because it needs to come from somewhere. It either comes from some deep pain inside or some experience, and it's important to address those things so that we can really understand where our opinions come from. You
know? So there are a number of questions that have to do with things that are going on the ground here in Belfast. And you might have heard, and many of our listeners have, that there's a new and larger food pantry being built in Belfast. Mm-hmm. Now, ordinarily, I believe we'd celebrate when a new building is being built and we have a better facility that helps our community. But in this case, it is indicative of a larger community need. How would you address the reality of food insecurity? How do we address that lack of this basic need?
I am so glad you're bringing this up. When I first came to Belfast, I tried to work on a food council that kind of brings consumers and providers and institutions together to see how we can provide more food and really guarantee food security. And I've recently been involved in a project that's really looking at hunger among children in Belfast, and but kind of really realize how much they depend on the school breakfasts and lunches and snacks that are given out in our elementary schools and the high school. So we have services in the schools that, as I as a child, would not have imagined. And including in the middle and high school, I believe it's the middle school as well, is snacks and food being available for kids to take home. And there's a backpack program in the schools where we've just been talking about that in one of our children's nutrition groups, you know, where we worry about the food weighing too much in the backpacks on the backs of these little elementary kids. You know, that's a tragedy. But in a city that appears to be as wealthy and as Belfast, it's a tragedy anywhere. You know, but I also think, so we definitely have to address that. It's a long-term problem, so we have to address that. And I think it's also important to note that it's part of our increased inequality, you know, is that the wages have not really increased in, I believe it's almost 20 years in terms of their value. People can't afford it. And so I know, are you referring to the soup kitchen as the new building?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I think it's wonderful. We've been preparing lunches for kids during the summer in the space that's being used as the food, as the soup kitchen right now, or providing lunches. And it's an incredibly welcoming and helpful community that is being serviced there. I've been involved in a small part of the food cupboards that are throughout Belfast in our community. And again, I mean, these are folks who really need food, and that shouldn't be denied them, you know, when we have such a resource. I also think that the farms in Belfast, you know, are able to grow, and there's so many possibilities, so many programs that can help this. So it's a really big discussion. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
So, and I think in part of the budget as well, I believe that there's social service programs and things like that that
right,
you must be familiar with in that work.
Right, and they're incredibly important for people who are in crisis, but it's also a systemic problem. It's not just, you know, a pay the rent for 1 month or provide a bag of groceries. It's a systemic problem that we really have to address in a systemic way. And can I just say that I think, you know, the size of Belfast that we keep having to remember is only 6,500. It's either a big town or a small city. And there's only a certain amount that we can do. And I think by collaborating with Camden and Rockland, it can help us maybe secure some federal grants that we would not be able to do on our own. There are a lot of ways, I think, of partnering and working together.
So on that channel, how would you attract jobs that pay a livable wage in Belfast? How do we do that?
Well, one of the things in walking around, I have been amazed at the number of young families that are coming to Belfast. It's really exciting. They're attracted by the quality of place, which I'd love to talk about later. But more and more often, these young folks are so techie and so computer savvy, and they have internet jobs on the internet that take place. It may be located in California, but still they can work from Belfast. And I think there are a lot of people who choose to do that. I was working on a ballot question, and which was sick pay for Mainers, because not many Mainers actually get sick pay. And I was amazed how many young people came up to sign the ballot question, even though they themselves didn't get sick pay, because they were employed by themselves. They were all self-employed. So I think encouraging a lot of that is really important. So we need affordable broadband throughout the city, not just inside, but throughout.
So I was just reading in the last day or so, Senator Aaron Herbig has legislation that has to do with broadband.
That's
and
right.
It's passed the Legislative Council's, I guess it's the first tier of
right.
getting legislation passed. Do you have any plans? How would you work with the state to help some of these issues that we're dealing with?
Well, I think Aaron has rightly mentioned to me that we need to work with and praise our legislators when they're taking on important, positive projects. I myself have been to the State House concerned about things that are going on, and I need to be reminded, yes, that Erin has done a lot. And actually, there was a post on her her page that there was increased municipal revenue sharing this time. There's increased money going in the education fund, and she talked about an increase in home exemptions. And, you know, I wrote her back, yes, this is wonderful. And so I think she and I talked a little bit about forming kind of a grassroots group that really would be aware of when she does something that's wonderful, or Jan Dodge, you know, and that we would make sure that all the legislators knew how happy we were and how good it is for Maine.
And as a city council person, how would you deal with the Janet Mills to bring funds to Belfast or to...
I think it is incredibly important. We have to work together. I hope Eric is planning on continuing going to the mayor's meetings, that, you know, because I think the mayors and the city councils and towns...
If he gets elected.
Yeah. Town councils. If we work together with what we feel like we need for our cities and towns, I think we're much more powerful. So to me, that's a really important way of connecting with the state. That's the only way we're going to get enough money.
So there were many, many things that were mentioned at the candidates forum about budgets, about property taxes, and that. Is there something you would want to expand upon or create more clarity on? And again, for those who haven't heard, Sophia Ridgely Fuller answers, who's running for Ward 3 and is our guest on WBFY. You can find the entire 2 hours on Belfast Community Radio Facebook page.
I'm not sure it was directly talked about, but I think that we need to work harder to have effective engagement between City Hall and the people of Belfast. And it may be that City Hall is so busy kind of working on the projects that they forget to communicate those effectively to the citizens. So often people don't exactly know what's going on. So I think effective engagement is and more and more opportunities for that. So that was one of my ideas, that you all should start up a call-in show. You could have a city councilor here and have a call-in show. I think all of those
WBFY
would be so exciting. And I think people in Belfast are want to be engaged with the city. That's part of why you find friction when things are not, you know, transparently kind of discussed and collaborated. I think that's part of why I suggested I'd like to have a ward meeting if I got elected twice a year, so that the in-town Belfast folks of Ward 3 and the outer side Belfast, more rural, of Ward 3 could get together and really start getting acquainted and be aware of each other's needs, and in the process really cultivate new leadership Because that's the way, I think, by a lot of engagement, that's the way you cultivate new leadership and fresh ideas for the city. So I think engagement and really intentionally working on that is really, really important.
So there's some questions about Airbnbs, mm-hmm. and we discussed a lot some empty housing situations in our communities. And would you, or do you see or make a distinction between owner-occupied Airbnbs and Airbnbs owned by absentee owners? Do we even know if that's an issue? Are we not having affordable housing because of that? How would you propose to even find out if that's an issue? And what's your opinion on all of this?
I think we have to be more, well, I think the city council needs to be more aware of exactly what is the Airbnb situation in town. Again, you know, as I walked around, I came across, because neighbors told me of three Airbnb houses that were totally dedicated to Airbnbs. And
non-owner occupied.
Non-owner occupied. And some of the other houses were, this is especially on one particular street where one of the residents described it as a ghost street in the winter, where there was nobody there. And I mean, that really changes the quality of a neighborhood, you know. So I know that there are a lot of cities all over the world that have been trying to manage this, and some very effectively. And I think it's important that we develop some kind of plans before it really gets out of hand. Because I think some cities are really suffering because of the Airbnb situation. Yeah. But I totally appreciate that an owner-occupied home that has an Airbnb, you know, is using it to reduce property taxes. And I think that's really important. But also I appreciate that it reduces the housing stock in Belfast. And just at a time when we're trying to increase our housing stock.
Do we know that for sure? Those are the kinds of questions I think this citizen was asking when whoever wrote it.
Well,
wrote
when there's an empty house or apartment that's available, you know, but rented out 2 weeks. And I heard this from the city council when I went to some of their working group meetings. You know, when that's rented out for the summer and that makes up for the whole year, that really deprives, you know, potentially a family of a place to live. And I'm not quite sure what can be done about that, but I believe that it's not a new problem in a lot of areas, and that we can learn from that if we look at what other places have done. But I think the housing stock, and especially, you know, rentals, somebody renting with the intent on buying in Belfast is really important. It broadens our tax base. The more, you know, we have to be careful about the tipping point. You know, how many people do you want here before we have to start, you know, providing more infrastructure, and that's always a problem. So it's important to do the planning, I think, and to develop a vision for what we want that we agree on.
So what role should the Belfast Comprehensive Plan play in future development, and how much weight should it carry?
I watched some of the interviews for the folks applying to be on the Comprehensive Plan, and I had some concerns. I mean, one concern was that if the city council picks all the folks on the Comprehensive Plan, it's impossible to avoid picking folks that reflect the views of the city councilors. So we're not necessarily reflecting the views of the people in the city. I would like something to be much, much broader. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, I think by design it's a very slow process, and things are moving very quickly here in Belfast, and we really need to be able to figure out what people want and see as a vision for Belfast, I think, really soon, you know. I'm concerned about having a comprehensive plan that then can be quickly amended by the city council. I just, you know, I think of citizens who are selected based on a variety of different experiences and skill levels and make decisions in terms of what a comprehensive plan should look like. I think that really needs to be respected, and that the city council should be careful about amending it. That said, I do know that there are instances that are really important. I remember talking to a guy on the outside of the bypass who has two apartments, and he wants to put in two more and has a place for a small business. And he said that the assessors, or the zoning board, told him that he lacked the amount of acreage for that by 1/10 of an acre. And that, to me, so it seems important that if you're going to encourage local business and local, more housing stock, that we have to really be equitable about the way we're doing our zoning. It was another woman who wanted to expand her business and couldn't because of zoning, was told, oh, that'll change, but it never has in all the years that she's been here. So I think we have to be really careful. And so we have to be both flexible, but to really honor it as a document that reflects the voice of the people in Belfast. It's a tough question.
Yeah. So that leads into another question, which has to do with what is the vision, your vision of Belfast in 10 years or 20 years? What's growth? Is there what would be a definition of too much growth or too little growth? What's your vision in 10 years?
I don't know if it would depend on growth. My vision doesn't depend on growth. It depends on the quality of life for the people who've chosen to live here.
But more people are coming in to the city, so
yeah. And I saw this little snippet about a quality of place, and so actually I wrote down some attributes of a quality of place and what that means, and that's what I'd like to make sure that we can retain or strive to first, because I'm not sure that we've really, we're not there yet, but that we, once we get there, that we will retain it.
What does that mean?
What are the qualities? Oh, it was just lovely. It kind of brought almost tears to my eyes. It talked about, that's why people come here and stay, and it's a place where there's engaging work, decent housing, vibrant culture, brain stimulation, powerful community for raising families and growing old, especially lots of natural environment to explore and steward. And then I said, and last but definitely not least, where no one is forgotten, unheard, or left behind. That's my vision for Belfast. You can't quantify it, but it brings tears to my eyes.
That is Ridgely Fuller and her vision for 10 years from now in Belfast and into the future. So how would you attract jobs that pay a livable wage?
I see that happening.
To create that kind of vision.
Right. Well, I do see that happening with broadband, because I see such a population coming that is working on the internet. It's totally not something that I'm familiar with, but I see that happening as I was going door to door. The other thing that I think is so important is that we hold up vocational technical training, I'm prejudiced. I worked in a vocational technical high school with plumbers and carpenters and electricians, and those are jobs we're always going to need. And there's always a waiting list to get on, with some great carpenter or plumber. And I regret that I haven't visited our vocational technical school here, and that's something I really intend to do. I would love to present, help develop apprenticeship programs. And the other thing I really believe is the value of small businesses. So that our economy needs to percolate from the bottom up. And there are a lot of businesses and services that happen here, and as well as outside the Belfast, outside the Beltway, the bypass, that we don't really hear about, or at this point can't really afford to buy lots of advertising, but they're boat builders. I've run into lots of contractors there. So what I've really encouraged is that the city needs to undertake a study of all the local businesses, find out, how we can enhance their growth, what their needs are, and then find out where the gaps are in our structure. And those are the kinds of things we need to fill in by maybe mid-sized development or something like that.
Part of that, as you're mentioning technical mm-hmm. work, is one of these questions is, how would you help Belfast become carbon neutral for 2030?
I think that's very exciting. Well, first, I think we have to acknowledge that our city council has taken important steps to solarize public buildings and do the LED lighting, things like that. But we're going to have to work with them around issues like transportation. And that's a really big one, I have to say. But incentives work. Because the city put in EV stations, that was kind of the tipping point for me. And
What's an EV station?
I'm sorry, electric vehicle charging station. That was a tipping point for me to getting a used electric car. And it's extremely nerve-wracking and scary. I'm not used to anything but roll-up windows in my car, so it's a huge gap for me. But I think the city can provide incentives down the road, because electric vehicles, and you know, are expensive. They're late model vehicles. I went to, because this is just recent, in the last week. I didn't realize this used one would just fall in my lap. But the first thing I did when I went to the Paris Auto Barn, where they sell used electric cars and hybrids, I said, "Would you all? Can you all start a branch in Belfast?" And that's the way we really encourage local businesses. And the guy, the owner, he's a young guy, just phenomenal. He said he was considering that. Rockland and Portland is after him as well. But he said he did have, you know, a lot of customers coming from Belfast. So being able to serve us, the EVs that we want to attract here, would be really wonderful. I also think that we're going to, it's going to be really creative, and I think it's going to be fun. You know, I think we're going to have to encourage folks to take the buses, to take our, you know, the buses, and that they should be reduced fares. But I was just imagining, you know, an incentive system that you get on the bus and you get your ticket punched, and when you get a certain amount of points, you get a reward. And the city council, it might be that you get to be mayor for a day. Or wouldn't that be fun? But we need to have fun, you know? It's got to be, or we get, you know, tickets a percentage off when we go to Rollies or something. But it's a community working together to make it possible to have clean air. And I think if we approach it that way, that we can have a good time and really all enjoy our progress to that. So I also think the Climate Crisis Group is excellent. And they had a packed Abbott Room a couple of weeks ago. It was so funny because one of the organizers saying, "Well, I think we were wanted to break up into small groups, but there are so many people." And he said, "Well, I don't know how we're going to do that." And the people just totally self-organized into small groups so quickly. And to me, that was just such a sense of how important people felt about this, you know. And it was, and they want to get their hands dirty. The first Monday of this month, the 4th, the night before voting in the election, there's going to be another climate crisis meeting. They've asked me to make sure that I promote, and I want to. I call them up, and I say, how can I promote it? And they're going to have some new plans on what to do next. So I think we have a lot of city leadership, and that the people can join in. We're trying to, you know, establish Waldo County a Climate to Thrive, which is on the model of MDI, Climate to Thrive. And by them working with other towns, they have brought in a lot of money. They have done a lot of weatherization, solarized many, you know, towns and schools. We can start helping solarizing the schools. So I feel like there are a lot of really exciting initiatives, you know, that bring hope. If you sit home and don't do anything, then you worry. But come to the Abbott Room.
Somebody who has children, in addition to the playground, I guess, at the city park, is asking, can Belfast get a playground on the waterfront? It would be wonderful for kids to have a place to play so close to downtown and the Harbor Walk. What do you think about that and ways to engage children in Belfast?
I think it's an interesting idea. Of course, I'm a proponent of playgrounds in every neighborhood. I've been looking at these little small developments that are in the nooks and crannies of Belfast as I walk through, and they're really lovely, but they don't have any playgrounds, and they're really not many children. And so when we talk about Congress Street and developing that, particularly maybe for housing, is I think a playground is really important, not just for the kids, but for the adults that are watching the kids. It's a gathering place. I understand that East Belfast doesn't have a playground. I think that's a tragedy, and that should certainly be, I think, a priority, along with the sidewalk for, you know, Swanville Avenue, which I can't imagine that parents walking their kids down there to the convenience store. So, yes, I think we need to become much more children-centered. I'm concerned about down inside the Beltway, the bypass in Belfast, because as I go door knocking, I don't see many kids anymore. And actually, this was brought to my attention by somebody who had moved way outside. And I find that true. And so we need to feel like bring ways where kids can come back into Belfast, you know, to live, not just to play at a playground, but to really live. But I'm really a proponent of gathering places, including parks, you know, in every neighborhood. And I think we have way more neighborhoods than we know about. I'm amazed how people know what's going on with the folks on their street. It's really wonderful. I think it's a testament how engaged folks are with each other in Belfast.
Yeah. So I guess that gets back to how to bring young people back into the economy and back into the vibrancy of our town, which some people say that the property taxes have gotten so high that it's hard for young families.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to young families who moved in maybe 5 years ago and are concerned about their ability to stay. We have to help them, you know. I mean, I know the city council, it's just hard for them to hear, but over and over again, that was the message I was getting out there in the streets. And I had no idea.
About property taxes,
that the burden, the sadness and hopelessness that people feel about their property taxes ever even being stabilized, let alone go down. And they're concerned that a revenue stream coming in, a new revenue stream may not even lead to a reduction in their property taxes. So there was a lot of despair, and that's why I think that we really need to engage with each other in a better way, you know, and more effective and consistent. Yeah.
One of the questions that didn't get asked and answered at the candidates forum has to do with term limits. Many of the councilors have been on the city council for many years. What is your opinion about term limits?
I think that's a difficult question. To me, what's underneath that question is the ability to generate and appreciate new ideas. Because I think if you're sitting in one seat for years and years, it becomes an echo chamber. It's a silo. It's really hard for that not to happen. So I can speak for myself personally, is that I don't see myself certainly being there beyond at the most three terms. You know, I think the first term, or at least I remember, you know, it takes a little while to get comfortable. And I remember in a new job I had, and the principal said, you know, well, the first year you just, you know, you're not really contributing. He didn't expect that. Of course I was. But he, you know, that it isn't until the third year that you really can contribute. I think certainly, so it's important to be able to, you know, adjust and do the learning curve and then make contributions, but then to know when it's time to step aside. But I think we have to step aside knowing that there are people who are in the position to take leadership. And that's why I think it's so important to start working on a ward level and letting people have more of a say and help organize. And that's something that I certainly want to do, because none of us are immortal, where none of us are too essential. We need to be able to move over and move out.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Today, I got two contacts. They were both really good questions. Yeah. And providing me information. So that's really important, too, is that I recognize that I'm a neophyte full of energy and enthusiasm and excitement, but I have a learning curve. So whatever information people can provide me, I really, really appreciate.
Thank you.
Thank
Sophia Ridgely Fuller, candidate for Ward 3 in Belfast.
Thank you. Thank you, Belfast.
You've been listening to an interview with Sophia Ridgely Fuller, known as Ridgely. She's a candidate for the Ward 3 City Council position in the upcoming election. We'll return in a moment with an interview with her opponent for that seat, Brenda Bonneville.